Hey guys, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are the Holiday Bros, and you're listening to the Holiday Bros Podcast.
Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros.
Good tidings to you, Kevin, and to the listeners out there. This is the Holiday Bros Podcast number 18. And on this week's episode, we are going to be discussing Seinfeld, The Strike. This episode of Seinfeld was originally aired on December 18th, 1997. And we're also recording this episode on March 17th, 2018. Mm-hmm. This episode was written by Larry David, Jerry Seinfeld, Dan O'Keefe, Alex Berg, and Jeff Schaefer. And it was directed by Andy Ackerman.
Wait, Larry King. Larry David was, because he had quit early on. I thought these later episodes were without him.
No, he came back, I believe, only for the last season.
Oh, I thought somebody told me that.
Yeah. About I don't remember if it was the last one or the last two. I don't remember.
All right. Well, these later episodes are my absolute favorite from 95 on.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy them when they switch the writers.
Yeah, they're, I don't know. We'll discuss about some of these episodes, or some of the episodes a little bit later on, but I guess without further ado,
let's get into it.
Strike.
So, Whatley's still Jewish, huh?
Oh, sure, without the parents, it's a breeze.
For a Christmas episode, doesn't start off too Christmassy.
No, right, and the thing is, as you said, you know, or as we said, this is called The Strike. Nobody refers this episode as The Strike.
Right. It's always just Festivus.
Happy Hanukkah, Tiffany.
This place is like Studio 54.
And it's so great to see Bryan Cranston in this role.
Yep. And the thing that drives me nuts is, like, this is season 9, episode 10. This is, like, almost towards the end. It just doesn't have that... I don't know. Like we were saying before, like, the writers are back. Like, with this is a good series of the good set of the episodes. But I don't know. It just seems like it would have been an earlier one for how iconic it is.
No, I agree. The last season had a lot of good ones in it as well. But there's a lot in this episode.
Yeah. That's one thing I was going to tell you about. Like, this episode, like, there's just so many things going on. Like, if you were to say, oh, yeah, it was the Two-Face episode. Like, in my head, I'm not picturing that as also the Festivus episode.
Yep.
You know? The fake number. I'm not picturing that as the Festivus episode. It's just all the plot lines in this just seem like they're their own story.
Yep. They squeezed in a lot in one episode, which a lot of the earlier episodes weren't like that.
Yeah.
I don't think we could handle that, man.
I've gone to that restaurant before.
Yeah, I have too. Looks nothing like it.
Exactly.
Tom's restaurant.
Yep. It's nothing interior, but the exterior is still the same.
Well, they capitalized on that when I went there. It's all Seinfeld stuff everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think they're, you know, they're allowed to. Something
from Whatley. Yeah, it should be part of the deal.
Festivus is actually a really big thing these days.
Oh, yeah. It's getting more popular every year, which is weird since this came out in 97.
I know. He got me a piece of paper saying I've given we never did it, but we were going to put an aluminum pole at work charity. Last year.
Don't you see how yeah. long that is? Where's your Christmas spirit? An eye for an eye.
I just love George going nuts.
For me. It's weird to me that that's what Larry David subway. Pretty much that is Larry oh, David in character.
Yeah.
I get a card and they stamp it every time I buy a sub. 24 stamps and I become a submarine.
Don't you ever like I watch usually one of these episodes a night.
Free sub?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? I can relate, and maybe that's the thing about this and like the appeal of this show. I mean, they say it's about nothing, but. I think the crap that goes through our heads, our friends' heads, I could relate to so much that goes on in this show.
Oh, yeah. It's just because it's a show for the everyday person, you know? Like, everybody goes through this kind of stuff. Not as much as George. I don't know. Some of their stuff is insane, but... And one thing that drives me nuts about this episode, though, is it with it being season 9, episode 10, obviously these guys have been friends for years, and, like, certain things come out in this episode that probably should have been known.
Well, I mean, Jerry knew about it because he just told Elaine about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I see what you mean, though. Like,
you're reading the classics, Professor Highbrow.
And especially this part right here with Kramer.
I lost my atomic sub card. Oh, no.
Oh, with him being on strike.
Yeah. I think it's so funny when he's like, what? I didn't know you ever had a work, had a job. And he goes, I didn't want you to know. I was unemployed.
Here's what I don't get, though. I mean, I don't know if they ever thought Festivus would become as iconic as it is, but why would this episode be called The Strike when it's more about Festivus?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they just decided to go with Kramer's plot for the title.
And I know what Elaine's going through. When we were down at the hospital, there's a thing down there called Dr. Coffee. And you could go there, you know, they give you a punch card for every 10 coffees, you get a free one. And when we were there in the summer, I never knew about it. And the guy saw me every morning. He's like, did you ever get a punch card? I was like, no. So he gave me two of them. The first one, he punched every one of them off and then just took it back and then gave me a free coffee. And then he punched two more in the new card. But I stopped. I stopped bringing it with me, and then I didn't realize how much we'd been going down there, and I get coffee, and I was like, fuck, I could have had a free coffee by now. Yeah, the strike's
been settled. And he's just use a regular circle hole punch?
No, the different shapes. That's where I worked.
You worked? Bagels?
Yeah, look, see, I still have my business card. Yeah, we've been on strike for 12 years.
I love when he goes back to work, and he's like, where's everybody else? Let us use their bathroom while we were picketing. He's like, who are you?
But I love it when he's like, yeah, I guess I could use it for the holidays. And he slaps the table and that's when they're paying gets to work.
I believe that's the new minimum wage.
And now you know who to thank for that. All right, I gotta go.
Why didn't you ever mention this?
Well, Jerry, I didn't want you to know I was out of work. It's embarrassing.
I love how he squeezes out that door and it's not even open that much.
Who are you? Cosmo Kramer? Strike's over.
Oh, yeah, I like how he gives Kramer. Him a side profile view like he's supposed to know who he is. Guys come back?
No, I'm sure they all got other jobs like 10 years ago. Man, well, it kind of makes you wonder what it was all for.
So is this guy the owner? Like, who notifies him about the strike being over? Where's this other guy?
I have no idea.
You notice that light just went off on the wall from back behind?
No, I just it doesn't make any bagel. Sense, especially this. Like, raisin bagels are not new.
So anyway, I never thought I'd be around to see that. Your phone number is my standard fake.
So, you're Elaine Bennis. We've been getting calls for you for 5 years.
So listen, when this guy calls, if you could just give him my...
So you see this other guy in the background, Charlie, I believe.
Yeah.
Right? Not I believe, I know. He's very Jack Blackish, right?
Yeah, he is.
But in the credits, I believe he's labeled as sleazy guy.
You make a lot of man.
And I'll tell you why. There's something funny about it.
A man? Charlie here. He's a man.
That's right.
Me. I'm a man.
So anyway, he's labeled as sleazy guy, right? He was also the host of a cable access TV show in California at the point at this time, and I believe it was called The Sleazy Guys, where they just discussed adult films. I'll have it. So we gotta look for that.
Okay.
This is a goof right here, where she tells her to put a bet. Where he tells her to put a bet on something.
Tell you what, put a sawbuck on Captain Nemo in the third of Belmont.
At this point in time, which would be a Christmas time, those races aren't going on at that point.
Actually, I'm having dinner with a girl I met at your party. Mazel tov.
All right, now, so I got a question on this two-face here.
She's doing something with her mouth.
Yeah, it's like she has like cotton stuffed in her top lip or something.
Yeah,
because she definitely looks different.
Come on, our table's ready.
Yeah, and you can hear it in her voice.
Yeah, I think they're really wadding out the back of that lip.
So attractive one day, not attractive the next.
I like when he's in the tunnel.
Yes, I am familiar with the syndrome.
This is my favorite right here, though. They have a name for everything. That's a two-face. That helps you.
So if I ask her out again, I don't know who's showing up. The good, the bad, or the ugly.
Clint Eastwood! Yeah. Hey, check this out. I gotta give Christmas presents to everyone down at Kruger, so I'm pulling a Watley.
A donation has been made in your name.
This is ingenious.
The Human Fund. What is that?
Made it up.
The Human Fund. Money for people.
What do you heard?
It has a certain...
I gotta ask you a question about this, though.
Yeah, Lord Josie
It'll come later in the episode when Kruger gives him the money.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Kruger was onto him that whole time?
I don't think so.
Because the way he is, like, he seems like he knew about it. You have to just
no, I know what you mean. Like, $20,000 made out to the human fund.
But no, I mean later when he catches him, he goes, "Well, what do you mean? So this whole time that was just not a, that wasn't real? Like, just watch his like facial expressions and the way he acts." It's like he caught him and he's like rubbing it in his face, you know.
I'll look for that aspect of it, but I never really did.
Yeah, think of it like that, because then when he's like, "You're lying about all this too, aren't you? No, would you like me to show you?" And he's like, "Yep, I guess we better."
Frank invented a holiday? He's so prolific.
Oh, I just talked over one of the best parts where they're chewing on the bagels.
Oh yeah.
He goes, "Oh, no, oh, they're the day olds." He goes,
"You're still trying to get that free sub?"
They pick around.
They dig.
We sprinkle a few fresh ones on top,
but they dig. They are not throwing it all away now. Frank Costanza is another great character in this show.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Jerry Stiller does a great job.
His role is always the same no matter what he does, though.
That's what I hear.
It's a little more
King of Queens, but I heard it's the same thing.
Yeah, he does, like, he flips out and screams every once in a while on that show, too. Christmases ago, I went to buy a
doll for my son. Is he still alive?
For the last one they had.
His wife is dead.
I think so. I realized there had to be another way. What happened to the doll? It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us. Surprise, this guy hasn't had a heart attack. He's always screaming. His blood pressure is probably through the roof.
I wonder how, I mean, again, this is the last season, so Seinfeld fans were all around. I wonder how long it took for Festivus to really start to take off. A little something
for you. I love this one when he chucks it in the door.
Thanks. I love how upset everybody is, too.
Oh, yeah. Incoming. Ah, oh, Mr. Kruger, sir, Merry Christmas. Not if you could see our whatever. What is this? The human fund.
Whatever. Exactly. Here's the thing, though. When he gets the check, I always wondered how, unless he quick established it, there's no way George could have cashed that check.
No. And is there a tree? No, instead there's a pole. That's why he still had it at the end, though. No decoration. I find tinsel distracting.
Frank, this new holiday of yours is scratching me right where I itch. Let's do it then. All right. Festivus is back! I'll get the pole out of the crawl space.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, woman.
Kramer, any word from the vest?
No. Oh. Listen, Harry, I need the 23rd off.
Hey, I hired you to work during the holidays. This is the holidays.
But this is Festivus. The best. Scab! Scab!
Yep. You're infringing on my right to celebrate new holidays. Buddy of mine, we used to yell that at work all the time. One of the teachers would start siding with the principal. Yeah, it's a
walk-off! No, I gotta stay here and wait for the call.
You're siding with management?
No, I'm just...
Scab! Scab! Scab!
Hey.
Boy, am I glad to see you.
You expecting someone else?
Yeah, that lip is definitely pushed out. Because look, it looks normal there.
Yeah.
So, what do you feel like?
So,
eating?
Like when they shot this, it's so funny thinking they shot these scenes separate and then they just intertwine them, you know?
Yeah.
You're telling me.
But yeah, there's really puffing out up there. Look at that.
So she was switching back and forth
the whole time. She was like a 3D baseball card that changes depending on the angle.
So one minute she's pretty and at the plate, and the next she's ugly and advancing the runners. So what happened next?
Well, we stopped by here and... Actually,
yeah, I know many people at Two Face, and like... Good was in that back booth over there's there. Even... Well, so I don't know about you, but eyes, I think, tell so much. Like, there's times that I've seen women that I thought were, like, drop-dead gorgeous, progress. But they were wearing sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And they take them off, and then my opinion completely changes.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. There's a person on one of the dads that we see at like some of the events that we go to. He's a Two-Face, but in the aspect where if you see him from the side, he's a completely different person than if you see him from the front. Like his like front face doesn't match the side view. I don't know why.
I love how he just keeps staring George down as he's walking in slowly.
No, two things about this. He just drug a pole all through town just to come here. It's a big dinner Tuesday night at Frank's. And then when he plops this audio recording up on the desk or up on the table, George. I just love that George is trying to act younger with his voice.
It goes very no, it's the same. Yeah.
I brought one of the cassette tapes. Read that poem.
I can't read it. I need my glasses.
And I love that his dad recorded it.
Leave him alone!
Jerry's face.
It's time for the Festivus Feats of Strength.
Oh, no! Damn it all! No Feats of Strength! I'm Festivus!
It's the best grown adult actor like this. I love it.
There. This is Kramer and Frank.
Hi.
Hello.
So, you ready to go?
Why don't we stay here? The back booth just opened up.
You're just scurrying her out of there.
Now this is a good-looking booth.
Zach Festivus! Hey, no bagel, no bagel, no bagel, no bagel.
No bagel, no bagel, no bagel.
I can't say it as fast as him. I tried.
I'll make you a sandwich.
I want the one that I earned. It's an H and Elaine.
Elaine, you should get out of there. I sabotaged the bagel.
This is the best who sabotages it. It's just steam.
You've been warned.
They like your bagels now. Watch his face then after the guy's just like, yeah, we could still work.
Sure. It's just a little steamy.
Watch this when he realizes it's okay.
George, I got something for you. I'm supposed to find a charity and throw some of the company's money at it. They all seem the same to me, so what's it?
All right, so I don't think, I'm not thinking right here. He's not like this way he's acting, but later when he catches him. I mean, he's a little.
Damn, I've locked myself out of my office again.
Obviously, he's going to be suspicious then because accounting came back and said that there was none. There was no human fund.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, the way he's, like, acting with George, it's like he knew and he's just trying to, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Just watch his face when it comes to that part.
I just found a rubber band in my suit.
Oh, I know who's cooking today.
Baco.
Hey, surprise, surprise.
Hey, Georgie.
I always like the way he flings the rubber band and then slightly wipes his hand off and get that check. You know there's some vegetable soup on that check then.
Yeah.
Baco.
It happens all the time.
Hey, look. Take a look at this.
You gotta give it back.
From Kruger. You're not keeping this.
I love this line.
Excuse me?
I've been doing a lot of thinking. This might be my chance to start giving something back.
You want to give something back? Start with the $20,000. I'm serious. You're gonna start your own charity.
I think I could be a philanthropist. A kick-ass philanthropist. I would have all this money and... and people would love me. Then they would come to me and beg. And if I felt like it, I would help them out, and then they would owe me big time. First thing I'm going to need is a driver.
In some aspects, you can tell that him and his dad are like the same, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Vest just called.
Yamahama, it's flight night.
Oh, yeah, I got a little steam fast. Listen, in 10 minutes, I'm going to have my hands on that atomic subcard.
And?
She looks like Alice Cooper.
Yeah, I know. That eyeliner's horrible. Yes, bagels, no.
Kramer, hi.
Oh, hello.
It's Gwen. We met at the coffee shop.
Uh-huh.
Are you dating your friend Jerry?
I don't know who you really are, but I've seen Jerry's girlfriend, and she's not you. You're much better looking, and like a foot taller.
Where does that one come into play?
Yeah, I'm likable and taller.
He's afraid of getting caught.
He's a tomcat.
Doesn't he say like a foot taller?
From Tim Ollie's,
I think he does.
Yeah.
You look.
Denim vest.
That guy
this guy's
so
from
different.
Something.
He looked. Yeah, I know. I was gonna
say.
See,
so you're still sticking with the denim.
This is from like Kids in the Hall or something like that.
Well, I had it back in my place, but I can't go there now.
I wonder why she says blimey then.
No. You give me your number.
Cause that's a British reference.
Sure. She knows she's been foiled.
Do you have the mumps?
No.
Typhoid? Yamahama.
Why does everybody say it, though?
I don't know, but I love it.
Fake number. Blimey.
George, we've got a problem.
I was behind somebody yesterday, and their license was crikey. Yeah, now watch him. He's like, just look at the way he's acting. He's like, why? I don't get it.
Well, there could be.
There isn't.
Well, I could give the money back.
I love that he always has it on him.
George, I don't get it. If there's no human fund, those donation cards were fake. You better have a damn good reason why you gave me a fake Christmas gift.
I love how quick George thinks, though.
I know.
Gave out the fake card because...
Pulls the tie.
I don't really celebrate...
I love how Kruger's like, feminism.
I celebrate Festivus.
Feminist?
Festivus, sir. And,
or feminist.
I was afraid that I would be persecuted for my beliefs. They drove my family out of Bayside, sir.
Are you making all this up, too?
Oh, no, sir. Festivus is all too real, and I could prove it if I have to.
Yeah, you probably should.
I don't know. I
Happy
love it.
Festivus!
George, this is a surprise. Who's the suit?
Yo, Dad, this is my
boss. I love how he keeps mispronouncing his name. Mr. Kruger.
Have you seen the pole, Cougar?
Yeah, Cougar.
He's going to see it.
I like when Kramer comes
happy
in all happy.
Yama, yama.
Go home. What are you doing here?
Embracing my roots.
They nailed you on the 20 G's?
Busted cold.
I just love how everything like ties together, though.
Yep.
Very high strength to weight ratio.
I find your belief system fascinating.
Hey! Happy Festivus, everyone!
Hello again, Miss Bennis.
What are you doing here?
Damnedest thing. Me and Charlie were calling to ask you out, and we got this bagel place.
I love that they're both calling
to
ask him out.
I was just about to see you. It's a
and they're both fine
miracle.
With it. Now look at this, the amount of food. I guess they don't expect to have this many people here, but it just looks like a small dinner.
That's right.
I love that reference, too, from an older episode. Dr. Van Nostrand.
The tradition of Festivus begins... With the airing
he's
of
so
drinks.
Shady, such a shady guy.
I got a lot of problems with you.
Friend and I at work always used to say this.
Now, you're going to hear about it.
To our coworkers.
Kroger, my son tells me your company stinks. Oh,
what happens to him here?
I know, I don't...
Boy, we'll get yours in a minute. Kroger.
It sucks, because it seems like it could have gone on for a while.
You couldn't smooth a silk sheet if you had a hot date with a babe.
I lost my train of
he
thought.
Just like has like a mind read. And Jerry's so bummed out about it.
Jerry.
Gwen, how did you know I was here?
Kramer told me.
Another Festivus miracle.
Watch Kramer's face there. Watch this.
Yes, this is the ugly girl I've been hearing about. Hey, I was in a schwitz for 6 hours. Give me a break.
Gwen. Gwen, wait.
Lighting on the porch. Hey, hi, my horse.
Jerry's always so willing to just let any woman go, too.
Yep.
And now, as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
This year, the honor goes to Mr. Kramer.
Oh, gee, Frank, I'm sorry.
I wonder why he just had
a
change of mind
H&H.
With Festivus.
I thought you were on
Festivus.
Strike.
Well, I
his feelings.
I mean, I really had to use their bathroom.
Frank, just because he had to use the bathroom.
A little out there.
Kramer, you can't go. Who's going to do the feats of strength?
How about George?
I love that Festivus isn't over until it's pinned.
Until you pin me, George, Festivus is not over.
Oh, please, somebody stop this.
Let's rumble!
I think you can take him, Georgie.
Come on,
be sensible.
Stop crying and fight your father. This is the best Festivus ever!
I just picture, like, these types, this age of people, and then all your friends are in there watching this happen.
I know.
This ending's great, too. This is one of the little stingers at the end while the credits are rolling.
Kramer making some bagels, blows a bubble.
Bubblegum falls. He pushes that gum out of his mouth, though.
That dough, it looks like it just has too much flour.
Yeah, he's been
breaking apart
for a while.
I love that he just... He's holding it down. You can see he's holding it on there.
All right. That's enough. You're fired. Thank you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's one of the classics. I mean, I think when even the... well, technically I'm considered a millennial, but I think when the millennials talk about Seinfeld, Festivus is one that always comes up.
It is. Well, listen, we're going to go for a commercial break real quick. and we're going to come back and then we'll discuss this a little further.
Beautiful.
Now.
So you think Santa will like these red and green M&Ms?
I don't know. I never met the guy. He does exist.
They do exist.
Santa?
That was your classic M&M's Christmas commercial.
Wait, was that from 95?
1997, that one was the addition from, where they were all the same back in the day. I think it came out in 96 was the original one. I don't remember, but I have to play that because I want to just discuss it, something about that one a little later, because I have another commercial to go along with that after we're done discussing Festivus a little bit here.
Well, it's definitely somewhere in that episode, because in that year, because I might have been that year. So I was in ninth grade. I remember seeing it. And remember TV One or One TV from junior high?
Yeah. Yep.
That Channel commercial one. Played, and I remember the one kid, Jimmy, just started laughing his ass off to the end of it. And it was the loudest laugh ever. Nobody else laughed, so it was very awkward.
Well, listen, we had said it at the beginning of the episode, but we're recording this on March 17th, which is a holiday. It's St. Patrick's Day.
It is, and it is something else out there. For any of the listeners that might know the trivia behind it, you wouldn't actually really know, though, until July from this past year.
That's true. You want to know? Hold on.
It's very nice. 10 years ago.
Oh, was it 10 years ago already?
Along the same stretch of road.
All right, I think you know what that's from.
Some dense fog.
Large Marge. But no, it's been a year since we actually recorded our first episode of the Holiday Bros.
Yep, and the thing is, it wasn't the actual first episode that aired for everybody. So we actually did a live in studio, both of us in the same place, and that was the Garfield Christmas that actually didn't end up airing until July.
Yeah, so that's what my wife is a little upset, that we recorded a Christmas one last St. Patrick's Day and we're recording a Christmas one again this St. Patrick's Day. So she wants to know why we didn't do Leprechaun.
Well, that's what my wife had said. She goes, why don't you do Leprechaun for this?
Yeah, and it's been on day too.
Has it?
Oh, yeah. Sci-Fi Channel.
I mean, we could do... Yeah. I don't even know what else we could do besides Leprechaun being the obvious. I was hoping Will Vinton would have something for us lined up, but he doesn't.
Nope. So yeah, it's been a year since we recorded our first episode. So it's been 12 months of recording.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy doing it still. So this episode, though, The Strike. Let me tell you what they list as the plot for this online, and then you'll see how much it really doesn't even go by what we, you know, you would consider the main staple of this episode, all right?
On what? Wikipedia or IMDb? Or...
This is on IMDb. So they have it broken down basically into three sentences, all right? It says, Jerry goes out with a two-face, Kramer gets his goes back to work at H&A Bagels, George makes up a charity, and Elaine gives a fake number to a man. So that's the plot for this episode. I mean, I get it that it just says George makes up a fake charity, but this is Festivus. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, and that's what everybody looks at it. I mean, our brother, I think he watches this episode every 23rd of December. Like, yeah. It's one of his rituals or traditions. But yeah, I mean, again, nobody, it boggles my mind that it's called The Strike. Why didn't they? But again, I wonder if they just didn't think it was going to take off as it did. Like, yeah. But even if it's primarily about Festivus,
yep.
Everything about it's Festivus. So I don't know why The Strike.
Yeah, it ties into it. It wraps up at the end. Now, do you know a little bit behind the story of Festivus?
Like why Larry David and them created it, or the actual origins of it.
The origin of it is it was actually created in 1966 by Daniel O'Keefe, the father of Dan O'Keefe, the guy, one of the show's writers.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently when he was dating, okay, so when this guy's, the writer's dad went on a first date with his girlfriend at the time, which would have ended up being his mom, he made up this holiday called Festivus, and that's basically what it was all down to. And then it actually included traditions like the airing of grievances. Like, he brought it into it. So it's actually been around since 1966.
So that, was the aluminum pole an addition, like, that the writers put in, or was that part of Festivus?
That part it didn't say. Any of the research I did, it just said that it included many of the things from it along with the airing of grievances. So it didn't say what was actually pulled from it and what was made. I would assume the aluminum pole has to be original, though.
Man, if his dad was alive when that aired, he was probably figured he made it.
But just picture, like, that guy, he wrote this into the episode, and you know, it's probably such a small thing, but it ended up being like one of the biggest things of Seinfeld history, I think.
Oh, you figure that's what, 21 years now Festivus has lived in America's lives.
And then from 66, it was actually created. That's insane.
Yeah, over 30 years for that guy.
I love it.
But it's, I mean, there's so many classics. You know, my favorite is still The Gum, which takes place during the Christmas time, and there's Christmas stuff in the background, and it aired in December, actually, that one. But this one, I think, is always known as the Christmas episode. I mean, not even Festivus, but the most holiday episode, I guess, yeah, out of them all. Like, there's no Halloween in Seinfeld or anything.
No, but the other Christmas one that comes to mind is the Red Dot, when he gets the sweater for Elaine, the cashmere sweater.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that one.
Yeah. Now, am I wrong to think that there was a time where you were not into Seinfeld? You were pulling your regular bit. No, that show's not funny. Then we had you watch it, and then when the episode of The Gum came up, you're over there cracking up, like, because of Jerry's glasses. Like, I want to say you wanted nothing to do with this show.
Well, I don't know. Well, that might have been because I remember in the 90s watching the late ones. I mean, I remember I still remember, again, I have weird memories. I remember it was, I don't know, whatever time in the morning before school, and I remember a commercial for Seinfeld for that night, for the new episode of Seinfeld. It was the one with Kramer walking around, little Jerry Seinfeld.
With the rooster.
Yeah, and I remember that, actually, it's weird, I just remember that morning, I remember those 10 seconds that it was on the commercial showing that that was the new episode on for that night. But I think I was watching some of them around that. I don't know. I might have been in bed by then too. But I remember though, in 2003 on, I would watch it because before I'd go out to the club with John and everybody, I used to put Seinfeld on at 6 because it came on. It was only on for an hour back in the day on TBS from 6:05 to 6:35, 6:35 to 7:05 on TBS. And I would watch it and lay on the couch and take a nap while Seinfeld was on, and then get up and go out later on in that night. So I know I was watching it in the early 2000s, but yeah. I'm sure I didn't care for it back in the 90s.
Yeah, Seinfeld was always my go-to background TV show as well. Even when I lived here, like, it used to be on from 5 till 7 every night, right? So it would be on when I got home from work and when I was making supper. Like, it was just always on. One of those shows I could leave on all the time.
Well, even just last night I was, you know, I should have been in bed, but it's 12:30 at night. What do? I flip on and go on the server and I start watching Seinfeld. I usually watch one before I go to bed just to give myself a good laugh and end the night with a smile on my face. That makes me sound like I'm depressed, but just
well, see, the thing that sucks for me is, like, Carrie doesn't watch it. She's, you know, she's seen them once, but she's not a multiple round watcher.
Oh no, Aaron isn't either. I mean, hell, today I was just watching. I watch Two Fat Ladies like every other day.
Yeah, I see that.
And I'm always watching it. Like, and I even to the point where I'll watch the same episode like 3 days in a row. Like, and it's just a fucking cooking show. But I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's.
I've never watched that show. How do you feel about that?
Oh God, that I always. I've been saying now since probably since they were on, and now that unfortunately that they're both passed away. They are two of the people on this earth that I would have loved to have met.
Yeah, I've never seen that show. Maybe I'll watch one.
Oh, God, it's fantastic. Well, then if you're actually psyching yourself up to do it, don't just fucking go in blind. Let me tell you which one to watch.
Yeah, let me know which one to watch and I'll watch it. But we'll talk about Seinfeld here for a bit. Okay, so I was saying a little bit before, when you break this episode down to different plot lines, they're all so distinct. Like, in my head, like, Seinfeld is that type of a show where in each episode, everything eventually ties together, but I can't differentiate each storyline between other episodes.
Well, no.
Just they seem so major.
And not just that, but I agree. I don't work with her anymore, but the woman at work, she and I are huge Seinfeld fans. She and I would always make references about it, and I didn't realize, kind of like you said, you didn't really put two and two together. Like, you know, Festivus is also Two-Face. I didn't realize until actually watching and paying attention that Manhands is the same exact episode as Bizarro World.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes, yeah. That is two huge references in Seinfeld.
Yep.
And they are in the same exact episode. But no, I mean, I know what you mean. They're all distinctive. They're all, and then like you said, they all kind of tie in together at the end when they're all at the table. But I would love, because you know there's diehard fans out there, so I would love to be a fly on the wall to see what a normal Festivus looks like. The airing of grievances. I would love to see one of those going on.
I'd like to get my hands on that audio tape.
Yeah, exactly. Just to see, because, I mean, if that's the case, if it's one of those things where the friends and family, if they accepted the holiday for what it is, and it's like, I guess maybe there's almost stipulations like, listen, everything that we're going to air, you can't get pissed off about. Here's just the way we feel, and let it
at. Yeah, you change it, or it's coming back next year.
Yeah, so, and Aaron, now you, oh yeah, because you said, you were telling me about it already. You said you watched This Is Us as a reference, which I'm trying to get my voice to sound the way Sterling K. Brown does on that mic. I think they mic his voice completely different from everybody else's. I like, there's a very sound to it, and just something about it when he talks that I love listening to him on This Is Us. But you know, when they did the on this past episode or the episode before, this episode, Worst Case Scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I said to Aaron, I look at her, I go, you would just freak the hell out if we even attempted to do anything like that. I said, I don't think you'd be able to handle it.
Yeah.
And so we did one Worst Case Scenario just to try it out. And I was right. She couldn't handle it. She played along, but I don't think it would work at any time. So, because I don't know how you are, and I know this is kind of going off on a little bit, but I just, some weird shit crosses my mind, and I don't know why. There's no reason for it. It just does. It could be morbid. It could be, you know, ridiculous. It could be sexual. It could be anything. Just, you know, random thoughts will cross my mind. And I've said them out loud once or twice just to have mom be like, why would you say something like that? Or somebody give me a weird look. So I just keep the shit to myself all the time.
Like, do you have an example that, I guess one of the things that you said, like when everyone was just out on their cruise, you didn't talk to mom or dad for over a week and you were like, I was just trying to see what it would be like if they were dead.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I said that to Kelly and she started laughing, saying that she felt the same, that she was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But in knowing Kelly, she probably already mentioned it to them.
Yeah, probably.
You know, cause that's how she works. But, yeah, I mean, you know, because mom would be like, why would you think like that? Like, it's just, I don't know. It just fucking crosses my mind. Like, you know, I can't control it.
Yeah, I don't know. I always get weird thoughts in my head, too, but I try to not think about them too much. But listen, in this episode of Seinfeld, though, The Strike, which they really should go back and rename this, there were a couple of goofs in the show. There were three of them that they have listed. One of them, though, is...
Is there a boom mic?
No, I wish there was. But one of them was the one I told you before about where Elaine says to put a sawbuck on Captain Nemo in the third at Belmont.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But from what it says, like if this is supposed to take place, obviously, on December 23rd, it says that the Belmont is closed at that time of the year. Racing happens in in Aqueduct in the winter. So it's not even at Belmont. And then one of the other things is that Frank, he always claims that tinsel distracts him, which is great. I love it. But then... that it's not used at Festivus at all because it distracts them. But then at the dinner table, you could see some tinsel garland clearly visible during that scene.
Not on the pole.
Not on the pole, but just in general. He doesn't like any decoration. Distracts him. And then one other thing it says, when George gets up to leave after biting into the bagel, like when they're at Jerry's house, he takes it with him. But then just before he reaches the door, he turns and points, and there's no bagel in his hand. It was just in there because there's no way he ate the whole thing.
See, those things would bother me. If I was the director, I would go back. I mean, I guess you can't, you know, especially back then. It probably wasn't digital. It was probably filmed. But holy shit, like, that stuff annoys me. Like, I even pay attention to little things, like, you know, the clocks and everything. Like, the episode of Seinfeld that was on the other night or that I was watching was...
Jumping back and forth?
No. But it was Kramer sleeping with... No, I can't think of it now. What's that comedian's name, the female? She dated Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, Sarah Silverman?
Yeah. There was the episode of Sarah Silverman and Kramer, and they were laying in bed, and the clock specifically set a certain time, and they were talking back and forth, and the screen, the shot, you know, the camera went between him and her, and I was making sure that that clock wasn't jumping around at all, but that would have been really obvious.
Yeah, I've seen shows where that happens.
But oh yeah, I have as well. But yeah, that stuff would go right. That stuff goes right through me. But there's a lot of times in this episode too where Jerry is trying not to laugh too hard. The cold opening, which they don't even play that cold opening on TV anymore. If you ever notice, just for commercials and everything. Like when the Festivus episode comes on, they don't even really play that. The thing with Whatley at the beginning.
Yeah, that's what when I saw that on the server today when I was watching it, because I watched it this morning at like 6:30 because Max was up. I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot all about that part.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's some episodes of like stuff that I watch on TV regularly. I will watch them if I have the full versions just to see. And sometimes there's quite a bit that there's actually cut out. So I notice a couple extras in some of the Seinfeld episodes and other things that I tend to watch on TV that I'll watch on the server then as well. So
I hate how TV's done anymore too. It's like the episode just gets minimized down at the bottom while it's going over and the new one's rolling right in.
Oh yeah, that's annoying. Well, that even annoys, like, they never used to do that with A Christmas Story. They used to play the fucking full length credits, and I loved it. Because it was,
but
we wish
not
you
in there. They're just jamming in more commercials. That's why.
No, I know. That's the whole reason why they do it. I mean, that's such a big time. I mean, half the people just have it on for the background. But yeah, I mean, half the episodes are cut up. I mean, look at Mickey's Christmas Carol. That gets destroyed on TV.
Yeah, it does. So, did you do anything for St. Patrick's Day today?
I had my green beer, and I sent my brother, our brother, a picture. I said, "You better had one as well," because he and I always make it a point to have our green beer on St. Patty's Day. And his exact wording, because I think he said he was working.
I'm driving.
No, he wasn't working at the time. His exact wording was, technically I already had two, but that was at 3 o'clock this morning when I got home from work. So I actually brought, today is Aaron's mom's birthday, so all the siblings came from New York, friends and family from around friends of Pat's from around the state came. So it was a packed house, and we went to the restaurant where we had our our engagement party that you were all at as well.
Yeah.
And I brought green food coloring with me, because most places don't even do it, especially this place. It's an Italian place. And I had asked for a beer, and they said, "Would you like it green?" I said, "Oh, sweet." But I ended up putting a couple drops more in just for the darker color. Enough. Yeah, it wasn't green enough for me, and then all the kids wanted me to put food coloring in their water, so they had green drinks everywhere. But
their parents are going to be calling you up.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, that was pretty much it. So since St. Patrick's Day is her mom's birthday, that day kind of revolves around
take it over.
That now. So, I do like this time of year, especially for the. Now, what mom makes, and she calls it devil crabs, and that's what she's always called it growing up. That's what Mamam calls it. When anybody else is called a crab cake, I guess I could ask them tomorrow, or is devil crab a different type of food?
See, I always thought it was called a crab cake.
No, mom always calls it devil crab. She never calls those crab cakes.
Oh, well, a devil crab is a type of a crab. It's a huge crab, right?
Well, I think she's saying deviled.
Yeah, but I'm saying, yeah, I don't know why deviled eggs are something different, so I would think it would be deviled, like how you would devil an egg when you mix it with mayonnaise and stuff.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, she always called it, I'm going to have to ask her about this tomorrow because I'm curious now. I mean, typically, though, here's the thing. I think when Aaron first got introduced, she likes them a lot, but I don't think she's... Almost positive the first time she had them, she's like, "Kevin, these aren't crab cakes."
Yeah.
Now, you know, moms are also mostly stuffing and then like one little piece of imitation crab hiding around. But I used to not like them as a kid. I thought they were weird. Coleslaw, I didn't even want to go near. Now, since you're vegetarian, I love mom's coleslaw. I have to admit, that's probably my favorite coleslaw. It's fucking slurpy and drippy and wet. And she puts all that sugar in. It's sweet. Like, I love that coleslaw.
Yeah, I like coleslaw too. That's Carrie's favorite also. She likes mom's coleslaw a lot.
Yeah, and I do, and again, Mamam taught me. You take a piece of that, well, you wouldn't do it, but you take some of the deviled crab, you put some of the coleslaw on top, and that's how you eat it.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell mom to, because it's just stuffing, so you could get it, because let's be honest, the crab doesn't give it really any flavor, so why don't you just unless you don't want it fried with everything, why don't you tell mom to make like an extra thing of just stuffing and make a ball out of that?
No, because last year I actually found vegetarian crab cakes and I brought those over and I had those. Mom's going to use the air fryer this year, guaranteed, so don't worry about that.
No,
she'll air fry.
No, well, you should have asked her to make one without the crab meat in it.
Nah, because it'll just be bread. I'm good. Yeah, I'm bringing pizza over.
You
can
get
anyway.
The flavors.
I'm bringing a pizza.
I make spicy crab meat for myself every now and then, but... now, do Aiden and Max want to eat that stuff, wouldn't they?
No. They're going to eat pizza. That's why I'm bringing it over. So this is the weirdest Seinfeld podcast ever.
I know. Completely going in completely different directions. All right. Well, I think you have, another commercial?
Yeah. So here's the thing with this other commercial. So that original M&M's commercial came out in, I don't know, 95, 96, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know
mm-hmm.
that there was a sequel to it that came out this year or this last Christmas and I never saw it on TV?
No.
Okay, so it's a little long. I'm going to play it. It's about
a minute.
Wait, and a half.
Why are you playing the sequel? Just because it's referencing that?
Yeah, because I never knew. Like, that M&M's commercial to me was like a staple for so many years. But supposedly, this one came out in 2017, and I did not see it on TV at all.
Well, I think our listeners, and including myself, would need to actually see it.
Well, if they do, I'll tell them what they can look up. But here's the thing. It's a continuation. It's a sequel to that commercial. It starts with the ending of that commercial.
All right.
And then if you listen to it this time around, I don't know if you know. I think you do. We talked about it before. But Billy West is the voice of the red M&M.
Yeah.
He's very Billy West in this one. Like, at least in the first one, like, it wasn't as Billy West. Like, this one, you just picture, like, Fry from Futurama when he talks.
Wait, right? Wait. Billy West wasn't the red. That's John Lovitz.
No, Billy West is the red.
I don't know. I never met the guy. That's John Lovitz.
No, it's Billy West. Google it. I'm telling you, it's him. You'll tell. Listen to it in this one and just picture Fry from Futurama. But this one is more based on the peanut M&M, but I'm going to go ahead and play this.
I never saw Futurama.
Enjoy this. Okay. Here we go.
He does exist.
They do exist.
Santa? Oh, no. I have to save Christmas. Let's go. Tommy, James, Lucy, Ben, Judith.
Right. Turn, no, the other right.
Who's that nut?
Give me Santa, now.
Hello? The presents.
Yes?
They're going to the wrong people.
What?
Who's Tommy?
What have you done?
Did I ruin Christmas, Red?
Actually, buddy, I think you made it even better.
So I honestly never saw that on TV, but it's a minute and a half commercial, so that's probably why.
That's like a whole other podcast to review.
Yeah, basically, but I had to play that, though, because I never saw it. So pretty much what was going on is after they fainted and everyone fainted, Peanut woke up and he was like, I have to save Christmas. So then he just jumps in Santa's sleigh and starts flying through the air. And as he's like saying off names, he's just kicking the presents out of the sleds. So it's just falling down into the houses. And apparently they're all going at the wrong places. So then that's why they're like, who's Tommy? And then like everyone was just gifts. And then everybody just went outside of their house and they were exchanging the gifts with the right people. So then that's why Red was like, no, I think you just made it better. Cause everyone's outside just talking with each other then. But yeah, Billy West. You could really hear it in that one, telling you.
Did Santa ever wake up?
Oh, yeah. He woke up when the phone was ringing and they called him. And he goes, because when the one elf was looking at the monitors to watch Santa, he goes, who's that nut? That was hidden in there. But yeah, so Santa woke up and then he realized what was going on. So I don't know. That was a continuation of a commercial 20 years prior. And I never even knew that came out.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't have aired that.
They probably did. It probably only aired once, and then people were like, man, it's a minute and a half. Get out of here.
Where's the Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah, maybe in Christmas time. Yeah. But so that's my M&M. That's the only reason I had to play that second one, because of the first one.
Yeah, because that's not... you weren't doing what you normally do, but I get it.
Yeah. Well, I tried to... I did a December 95 or a 97 commercial, and that M&M one came up, even though I think it came out in 95. But anyway, so Seinfeld, The Strike. Now, all their episodes of Seinfeld are named The Something, right?
I don't know if it's all. Maybe the latter just like, half.
Just like every episode of Friends is called The One With, and then it has a name. Every episode.
Wait, what are they called?
If you watch, if you just look up Friends episodes list from the TV show Friends,
yeah.
Every episode is The One With, and then something. So, like, it'll be like The One With the Couch, or like The One With whatever. Like, that's how every episode is.
Why the hell did you go that route?
I don't know. But they did.
Well, I mean, I guess it makes, I don't know, maybe, because I always wondered why they called that one episode The Susie.
Oh, yeah. I think that's how the Seinfeld episodes are.
Maybe it is. Yeah, you know, yeah. The Gum. The Susie. I don't know. You know what? I don't think I've ever paid attention to that. The Millennium. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, because there's even The Pilot. Yeah, look them up. I'm pretty sure that's how they're all worded, something like that.
But again, I wonder why they would have done that. There's some interesting stuff. If you go on the server on the extras and everything that I have on there, there's some good interviews with Larry David and the cast.
I was poking around on your extras today, and some of the stuff's just all labeled wrong. I couldn't take it.
Well, yeah, I know, but that's not my fault. That's the TV database's fault. But I can make them.
I'm in there like watching some Muppet Babies extras this morning, and I'm trying to look at some of the McDonald's commercials, and that's not what it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, that stuff's not going to, because this commercials, nobody's going to have that on the TV database. So that's why they're missing. You can make it if you want. You can make it and then give me the code, and then I could change. That's what I did with Sailor Moon. The ones they had were all the Japanese ones. So I went and redid my own American one. It took me like an hour, but the one thing on the TV database is created by me. I did the same thing with Doc McStuffins.
No thanks. I think we had said it before, and I think they said it on the episode too, but Festivus does take place on December 23rd.
Yeah, that's its date. And yeah, I guess they're holding off on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, obviously. But 23rd is there. Excuse me. It's a good time. Usually in the social medias, you see a lot of Facebook a lot of Festivus references.
Yeah, I know my friends used to have a Festivus party. Get together and watch it.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's all these episodes you could just watch pretty much over and over again and break apart. But definitely a fan favorite, and definitely one of mine's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I would give this one 2 aluminum poles.
I was going to say, if you say anything else but aluminum poles, I was going to jump in and say aluminum poles. So good for that. Good for the thinking. And going back, I still don't think that he had any indication that the human fund was wrong until accounting came and told him.
Well, I mean, obviously he's not going to hand over 20,000, but then like when he caught him though, I don't know. It's just something about it. I don't know. I mean, I just see it differently.
I mean, unless you're looking at it as if it played out differently, if George said, well, no, what are you talking about? There definitely is a human fund. All right. Well, then prove it to me, George. Like, you know,
see, I'm thinking maybe like, he knew it from the beginning. That's why he did it, because he knows that it would never be able to get cashed. And then he just like does it to catch him on it, because he just gave him a bogus gift.
Yeah, but even when he gives it, though, because even like you said, he goes, you said, you go, well, not here. Like when he gives the check, everything seems very sincere there. And Kruger isn't the, you know, the smartest guy either.
No. Oh, denim vest. I love it. Just everything that they, just the quirks they have with everybody. Denim vest, Two-Face.
Everybody has a name.
Yeah.
I still love every now and then the references to, and it's great because the guy plays a separate character, but FDR, Franklin Delano Romanowski. And then the one episode he's the, he sells Italian ice. And it's not even, he doesn't play FDR in that episode either.
Yeah. A lot of older shows did that. Well, not older, but just shows in general would just use the same actor for multiple roles.
Yeah. Why not if it's a good worker?
Yeah.
Keep them going.
I always hated when they changed the character, though, and never mentioned it.
Yeah. Golden Girls is horrible for that.
That's back.
Yeah, well, that's the best that Roseanne actually
points
in. That's coming out, and that's 6 days, 23rd. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So it's going to be a Friday?
Yeah, well, it's been TV Land's been playing Roseanne all weekend, the best ofs.
I mean, again, that's a separate conversation, but just in the general thought, I pray that they do not ruin any thoughts of the original. I have a feeling if anyone's going to try to hold true, it's going to be Roseanne Barr, but I don't know. She's been fucking doing those macadamia nuts. Maybe she became one herself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different time nowadays, though, too. You can't get away with as much stuff as you could back then.
Yeah, so, but see, that's the beauty, though. I wonder if she will just say, fuck it, and pull that card. Or unless the network blocks it.
So, I guess we're going to be wrapping up this episode of the Holiday Bros Podcast, and we'll come back in a month, figure out something, what we're going to do there. But in the meantime, you guys could drop us an email, theholidaybros@gmail.com. You could also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. If you just look up The Holiday Bros,
we're there. We're waiting.
Yep.
With bated
keyboards. Operator, stand by. I don't know. You got anything else for this episode besides
cover? No. I think we're good on this one.
All right. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this one. We'll be back again in a month. So until next time, for The Holiday Bros, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin, here to bid you farewell and happy holiday from the
Holiday Bros.